Let's take a look on page 4, and it's on the right column, Parshas Bamidbar, toward the very bottom of the column. The year of Bruce is Tafresh Lamed Hay. Second Mimer in Tafresh Lamed Hay. How are you, Matt?
Good.
Good to see you today. The Sefer Zeh, this Sefer, Vayedaber, Hu al Shem HaSidur VaHatikun Shel Kol HaBriya. This Sefer, Sefer Bamidbar, it is speaking about the order and the tikkun, the repair, the rectification of all of creation. Al Pi HaTorah, based on Torah, V'hu Chumash HaPekudim, it's called in the language of Chachamim, the Chumash of Pekudim, which means counting or it means appointing. V'hu HaHefresh Shebein Asur Ma'amoros La'asiras Hadiras. And this is the distinction between the 10 statements which Hashem uttered in creating the world, we say Basar Ma'amoros Nivra Ha'olam, and the 10 commandments, Aseres HaDibros, which were spoken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. So what is the distinction? Ki Maimer, the statement of Hashem, Hu Koach HaBriya, it is the power of creation or of creating. Shenosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam, which God put forth into the world. Because when Hashem spoke, the world was created. So the Eser Ma'amoros are kochos of Bria, the kochos of creation. That's how the world came into being. As we say, Omer Va'osa, Hashem spoke and He made, saying Baruch Shamar, Baruch Omer Va'osa. Shenishave Kol HaBriya B'Ma'amoros, that all creation came into being through His word. So that's the Eser Ma'amoros. The Dibur, however, when it comes to Hashem's word, Devar Hashem, which means Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, Hu Hashgachoso Yisborach Al HaBriya Kamo Shehu. That's referring to Hashem's guiding attention to creation and over creation as it is. Achar Shekavar Nivru, after creation has already been achieved. So first there's the 10 statements which create, that's Asara Ma'amaros, and then there's the 10 statements, the Eser HaDibros, the Aseres HaDibros, which are the Hashgacha of Hashem over that which He has created. Ki la'olam lo yetzechas v'shalom shum davar mehashgachas ha'yisbarach, because always nothing will ever be outside of God's Hashgacha, of God's careful attention, His guiding attention of the world. There's nothing in the world that escapes Hashem's attention. And this also is an essential distinction between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. Because everybody knows God created. And plenty of religions besides Judaism considers God the creator of the world. Creationism is something that's not unique to Judaism. Ah, however, B'nei Yisrael Yodim Shashem Yisborach Mashkiach U'machadesh B'chol Yom Tamid. What the Jewish people know uniquely is that God is Mashkiach. He pays careful attention at every instant to creation and renews that same creation in an ongoing fashion, B'chol Rega, each instant, Ma'asa Bereshis, there's a new Ma'asa Bereshis. So this is an interesting thing here, because first he said the Ma'amaros are creation and the Dibros are Hashgacha. But what he adds here is that the Hashgacha over creation is like a new creation. That's what he's adding here. As you noticed, he said B'chol Rega Ma'asa Bereshis, at every instant it's an instant of creation, it's a moment, an act of creation, but he's talking about the Hashgacha part now. So what he's saying is that Hashgacha is a type of creation, and that's the renewal of the world, that God's constant paying attention to reality and every detail of reality is the creation of that thing at that moment.
even though it was already created, the Sheshus Mei Bereshis. Its recreation is Hashkafa.
This recreation, it seems, I'm just getting to this, it seems that we were partners in this. And we need, now of course God doesn't need anything, but it seems almost like that the process needs us to realize that God creates everything new every day and to be a part of it in order for it to be created every day, even though Hashem doesn't need anything from us.
And now you're saying that, I assume, because Aseres HaDibros were spoken to Bnei Yisrael, right? So that, as opposed to the Aseres HaMamros that God spoke,
we were part
of that. And I agree with you that there's something about the Aseres HaDibros which is inclusive of Klal Yisrael, and that even though, as you said, Hashem does not need anything, he's perfect, but his ratzon is that Bnei Yisrael participate in that Hashgacha, which we do through Torah and Mitzvos, and that's unique to Bnei Yisrael. I think that's part of his point here, what you're saying. That's unique to Bnei Yisrael, to have that shutfus, that partnership with our Kodesh Baruch Hu.
So is that why other religions have trouble with that concept? Because they're not...
That's interesting, because they didn't want to receive Torah, you mean. Yeah, that's a very interesting idea. You know, maybe it goes back to that far. The refusal to receive Torah was perhaps a refusal to be involved in this specific concept of Hashgacha.
So they can't grasp it.
Right, at some level. Now, you know, I think that on a superficial level, this could be grasped by a Jew and a Gentile, that God perpetually creates and is involved. But there's something unique to Klal Yisrael which has to do with it, with its being Torah, that accomplishes that. It's Torah that's the vehicle of Hashem's Hashgacha, and that's specific to Klal Yisrael. Ephraim, did you have a hand up there? Okay. V'zeh b'chinas dibur, and this is the concept of dibur, of Hashgacha, of recreation that's unique to Klal Yisrael. V'hu gam kein hefrish bein b'chinas adam u'behemah. He takes it further and he says, it's also a distinction between a human being and an animal. K'mamorim zal, as it says, Atem Kuruyim Adam. You, the Jewish people, are called Adam, human. Ki behema hakoach sheyeshba eimla hispastus. It says, an animal's koach, which it has as an animal, it doesn't disseminate, it doesn't really influence others. An animal is what it is. Now you can say that the lead bird, you know, in those groups that fly in the sky, that he does certain things and all the other birds follow, and the same thing with all birds have their instincts. But that's not what he means. Those are patterns. He's saying that in terms of what we do, being able to affect other people and to be mispashed into the world, that's uniquely human. Animals don't carry influence in this way. Whereas a human being was created with potential, and his task or hers is to bring that potential out and to become and develop their identity, and that's being mispashe. An animal does not really discover its identity in the course of life. They have identity crisis. You know, a cow is a cow. I don't think they think about it too much. Or a dog.
Might be good.
Yeah. The world would go a little crazy. Then, right?
That's not the way it works.
Right. But a human being is born with human potential and gradually develops that potential. Now, I want to restate what I said, because I misunderstood him. That I said that an animal doesn't have influence, but that's not what he meant. He meant that an animal doesn't have development. His pashtus here is development. It is by nature what it is, where a human being develops his or her identity over a period of time and actually becomes something. The Zen Nikra Medaber, this is also called Dibur, Medaber. As we know, the four levels of creation are Domain, which is inanimate, Someach, which is plant, Chai, which is animal, and Medaber, speaking, which is human. So we're called Medaber, Ki b'diburo motzi machshavoso l'tzeves l'tzavos la'asos kach o kach. By speaking, a person is able to express their thought. that which was internal became external. We expressed an idea, and we can actually give an instruction. And now we're talking about the realm of influence now. A person can do that. They can say, do such and such, and it can affect other people. So as we develop, our koach hadibur then allows us to give that development and influence others, hopefully positively, through that development. Ubnei Yisrael miyuchadin b'dibur hamakudash v'hem divrei Torah. Now I get back to this point, Arya. That Bnei Yisrael are unique because the concept of words that are sanctified by Torah is unique to Bnei Yisrael. Kedusha Dika words, where the development of the human being and the expression of the human being is kadosh through Divrei Torah, that's uniquely Jewish. Ubekoach zeman higim es kol hanivrum, and it's through this koach that we are able to guide and lead all of creation. So just as Hashem, through the Aseres Hadibros, has Hashgacha and constantly pays attention to the Bria, and recreates Bria in that way, creation in that way, Bnei Yisrael also are involved with that Hashgacha by guiding the world according to the precepts of Torah. And that's the Koach Hadibur that we have. It's unique to Bnei Yisrael. V'lachein, therefore, Kasa b'Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar HaKadosh writes, Ki b'Mitzrayim hoya hadibur begalus, in Mitzrayim, dibur, speaking, speech, was in exile. That's a concept which is brought down in many Hasidic forum, that when we were in Egypt, the Koach HaDibur, or Dibur itself, was in exile. Speech was in exile. Dibur was in galus. U'b'kabolas ha-Torah, when we received the Torah, nitkan hanhoga sa'olam api ha-Torah kanal, the world then was rectified and now achieved tikkun and would continue to achieve tikkun through Torah to that Dibur. So in Mitzrayim, our Koach HaDibur to develop and express our development to the world and lead the world in that way, in Mitzrayim that was in Golos. We didn't have that ability. We were too stuck in that culture. When we came out and had Kabbalah HaTorah, A, we could develop as people. B, we could express that development through speech, specifically the speech of Torah. And C, it would then affect and lead all of creation accordingly. Avi, you had a comment here?
Not yet. The word litzavos was how did
to command, to instruct. That he's able to say something, you know, and actually give an instruction, you know, to do such and such. This is an important thing to do, and people could pay attention to that.
Well, I always had wondered why the Ten Commandments were Aseres HaDibros were translated as commandments, because it doesn't really work.
Right, we don't really say the Aseres HaTzivuyim, you know.
Right, but Litzavos
is the
answer.
Yeah.
So by speech, you can command things to happen.
Right, and Latavka by saying, I command you, but by influencing somebody else through Dibur, it could have that effect. And of course, Aseres HaDibros begin with a statement. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you know, it's not a commandment. It doesn't say, believe that I am Hashem, although that's what our understanding of it is. But it's a statement. And it's not till the second Dibur that we're actually told, you shall not, you know, lo yelecha elim acherim al panav.
Then this is really a powerful statement on the power of words.
Of Dibur.
And what, you know, mm-hmm. and how we can influence ourselves and I guess other people just with how we do that.
Mm-hmm.
So so it doesn't go back like it was in Mitzrayim, mm-hmm. and you know that we lose sight of it.
Mm-hmm. Powerlessness really to affect the world through the speech.
Mm.
Whereas Divrei Torah gave that, Kabbalah HaTorah gave us that idea. Very important chiddush that he says, which I don't think we've seen previously in Sfas Emes, is this idea that Hashgacha is recreation. That the Aseres HaDibros equals Hashgacha equals recreation. That's Mechadish B'tuva B'chayim Tanim Ma'aseh V'Reishis. And then there's a human corollary to that, which is human speech.
I guess where I'm lost a little bit is, when he opens up, he's talking about it being a tikkun, had in particular order to creation. But like the Bumi Bar, this opening, this counting that's mm-hmm. going on is mm-hmm. doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that point being tied to where you finally wound up. That's
mm-hmm. It could be like this. There's two thoughts that I have, although neither of them I would consider conclusive. One is that the parsha opens up with a statement by Midbar, right, which is where Torah was received. Why does it state by Midbar? We understand that to mean that's Midbar Sinai, which is where the Jewish people received Torah. So the connection might be Midbar Sinai, Har Sinai, where Kabbalah's Torah occurred. The other might be, in terms of his citing here that is called Chumash HaPikudim, is that B'nai Yisrael are counted here, but it's much more than a counting of numbers. It's a counting of task and purpose.
Right.
And that counting was to impress upon B'nai Yisrael purpose. Each person has a purpose. And maybe the connection there is the purpose of each individual Jew in Kabbalah HaTorah, followed by the responsibility to use one's words
right.
appropriately.
Yeah, I can see that. Because what you're saying is first you have to have a feeling that you have a purpose.
Right.
Because you command a person that feels they have no purpose.
Right.
Yeah, it's a waste of time.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are two possibilities.
That's the one place I was looking. Mm-hmm. Usually he brings it around somewhere.
Right, he didn't make that direct connection.
No.
Okay,
let's take a look at another one.
Let's see, Shavuot is this week. Yeah? So let's, next week,
mm-hmm.
Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we can do it Thursday, yeah. It'll be okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll be sleeping at this time next week.
Erev Yom Tov, yeah, a little later. I'll be sleeping a little later.
Oh, right.
So talking about taking a nap?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about Yom Tov itself?
Erev Yom Tov,
right? Yom Tov. Okay, so we'll still meet, B'ezras Hashem. Have a seer.
I will be working at the next day, so I will not be here.
No problem. We'll still shoot to have this year. And we can learn about Shavuos next week.
There's a lot on the news.
Yeah.
It's a good place. Kind of will about
Shavuos. That's interesting. Let's take a look on page 7, second paragraph in the middle of the left column. The year over there is Tough Resh Mem. Bezras Hashem, there's a little heading to this one, by Midbar, the Kitzur Rashi Devarim. He said this is just a Kitzur, it's in a concise words, as if the Sfasemis isn't concise enough already, right? Umechag HaShavuos and certain topics related to Shavuos. Aaron, how are you? Good. Got to say Shalom Aleichem there.
This is the first instance of software I've seen in the by this class, and it's where he compresses.
Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. You know,
the Rebbe's the software.
The Rebbe's the software to come, right?
The pasuk Ish Al Diglo. The pasuk says, each man, each person, according to their flag or their banner, Ba'osos, with their sign. Leveisavosam, to the household of their fathers. Each shevet had a different banner. Ki hashorish nikra of. We know that the source of something is called of, which is father. Just like a father is the source of his child, the parents are the shorish of their children. So conceptually, everything has a shorish. It has some source, a makor, and that's called its parent or its father. Pirkei Avos can also be looked at in that respect too. Something to keep in mind there for your seum there, are you? And it's the shorish of the midos of Klal Yisrael, is Pirkei Avos. U'b'matan Torah hayu b'nei Yisrael devukin b'shorish nishmasam. At Matan Torah, the Jewish people achieved a certain state of absolute closeness to the shorish of their own neshama. V'hayu l'mayla the Madregas HaMalachim. They were above in the Madrega of Malachim. So as usually, we're basically living down here, you know, and our Shorish, our Neshama is up there. Of course, we're connected. But something happened at Shavuos where we were brought into contact, into Devekus, with our Shorish, which are our source, which are Neshama. We're more like Malachim. Efraim, who was that then?
That was... another possible interpretation of something happened at Har Sinai.
Okay. V'achar ha-chet, however, after the chet of the Jewish people at the chet ha-egel, nifknu b'bechinas ba'alei teshuva, we then became, following that chet, ba'alei teshuva, page 7, Josh, we did teshuva for chet ha-egel. Chet ha-egel happened, Moshe Rabbeinu did what he needed to do at that time for the various onshim, and then Klal Yisrael did teshuva. V'nasan Hashem yisborach lohem achiza b'shorashem al yidei ha-degolim. That's an interesting thing. But Hashem yisborach, he gave us the opportunity to take hold of our shoresh, say the essence of our identity or the source of our identity, by means of flags, by means of banners. That the banner, the degel, that each shevet had was such that it promoted, it enabled each Jewish person to get back to the shoresh of his identity. And so, Matt, you've been working on that, right? So it's an interesting thing. It should come up here. V'chanu isha machanehu. Each person camped according to their camp. V'chinas tzadikim gemurim. And that's the concept of complete tzadikim. When a person lives in their camp, that means they found their place. Right? They're living according to who they're supposed to be. Isha machanehu. They've achieved their encampment in this world as tzaddikim. The Ishal Diglo, then when it says Ishal Diglo by his flag, Bechinas Baalei Teshuvos, that's the ability to regain what one has lost. So Ishal Machanehu, that's before the Chet Ha'egel, where everybody lined up according to their camp and they were tzaddikim gemurim. Like at Har Sinai, there was no Chet. We reached back to the level of Adam and Chava Kodem Achet, like we've learned. Following the Chet Ha'egel, people needed a way back. There was a tremendous disruption in Klal Yisrael, the Chet Ha'egel. People were unsettled by the Chet. So Hashem said, okay, I understand you've kind of lost your identity now. You're confused about who you are. There was Chet Ha'egel. Here's a degel. Here's a banner. This will help you get back to who you once were, to the Shoresh of your neshama. So it's a camp, you know, is on the ground. That's tzaddikim gemurim. A banner is something to look up to. It's like we need some sign, a marker. How do we get back to that earlier state? That's Ishal Diglo. V'ramzu b'midrash pasuk nirana nabishu asefa. Shenemor b'mizmor yancho Hashem b'yom sara. The Midrash hints to this in a pasuk from Tehillim, which we say daily, right between Ashrei and Uvol Etzion, Laman Atzeah. And it says, Naranana, we will rejoice b'shua secha, in your salvation. And that comes from that Tehillim. Ki ha-degolim hayu lahem li-yeshua. The degolim, they were much more than flags. Right? They were a yeshua. They were a saving process for Klal Yisrael. They helped us get back to do tshuva. So Yancha Hashem b'yom, so we called out to you on a day of distress after the chet, and you answered us. We rejoiced in your salvation. That refers to the degolim, the banners. Lachin kasu b'midrash mineged la'ol hamohed mil sheyicholim lehiskarev v'shabbos. The Midrash says they were one meal, which is about a kilometer, right outside of the Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed was in the center of the camp, surrounded by the Levim and Moshe and Aaron, and then surrounded by Klal Yisrael. And to each Jewish camp, it seems from what he's saying, that there was a distance of a meal from them to the Ohel Moed, which means to say they were not outside of the tomb of the Ohel Moed. If the Ohel Moed was too far removed from the other camps, you couldn't walk there on Shabbos because it would have been outside of your tomb. But the fact is that they were all held in closer to the Ohel Moed within a meal, within approximately a kilometer, and therefore everybody could walk back and forth from their machaneh to the Ohel Moed on Shabbos. It was not a problem with tomb. Ki b'Shabbos bo'in l'makom ha'menucha. Because on Shabbos, we arrive to the place, the state of Menucha. Ubimei ha-maisa yucholim gam kein lahargish kedushas ha-shabbos ha-yidei ha-teshuka v'haratzon le'achoz l'mayla mi-madrigasa. So what about during the week? Right? And Shabbos, it's a Menucha Dika state. Right? We feel settled. We have a sense of belonging. What about during the week? It says, during the week, you accomplish this by longing, by yearning, to reach something above and more than what we are. And Shabbos is that we become that. On the week, we yearn for that. He says something which is l'mala mimadregaso, more than who we are now. We try and strive for during the week. Bechinas ba'alei teshuva, the concept of doing teshuva, of trying to become somebody greater than I am now. And that's what we're shooting for on a weekday. Bechela sagi. I don't know what he means by that. Bechela sagi. Literally it means with strength or with power, it's enough. It's sufficient. The Eino Mesuder, it sounds to me like he's saying that the power of the desire is enough during the week. The yearning is in itself enough. The Eino Mesuder, even though we're not necessarily arranged on a weekday, we're scattered about, it's like the traveling in the midbar. Yes, Adi?
It might be because we don't have the flags. We don't have the banners in
right.
the time to look at.
Right.
So maybe desire...
Is like the banner.
It's like the banner.
Right.
Pulls us from Shabbos.
Right. I think that's a nice idea. Very good. Rak Hamosher Kosev B'Midrash V'Diglo. It says in the Midrash, this really is consistent with what Avi just said. V'Diglo, the banner, what does that mean, V'Diglo, his banner? V'Dilugo. It's the ability to jump or to skip ahead to something more than who we are. So I think really Avi, your idea was right on the mark. That Diglo, the banner for us, is the desire to move ahead, to jump ahead. They had that as an actual physical banner, and it was a sign for them to do tshuva, to get back to your source. Our banner is the yearning to become greater than who we are. That's our Dego. And Dego is the same osios as Dilug, which means to jump or to skip. Same letters. Ayin Shem Kol HaDrashos. Look there, he says, at all the drushes in the Midrash, okay. Olet Pirish Naranana Bishua Secha, we could also explain that what it means is to rejoice in your salvation, Hashem. Kiyesh Libnei Yisrael Lismoach B'Hashem Yisporach Levad. He said it means the very simple act of joy in Hashem. Very basic, fundamental Simcha B'Hashem. Shehu Melech Ozeru Moshiach Tamin Lebnei Yisrael, that he is always there for us to help us and to save us. It's that basic reality. Hashem is Melech Ozeru Moshiach, to rejoice in that alone. Levad Zeh Yesh Lismoach B'mash Shabuah Yeshuas Yisrael Al Yado Ba'atzma. And in that case, even more than that rather, there's the Yeshua of the Jewish people which came directly from God. V'zehu ikar ha-simcha b'yeshua secha, ma sha'ata moshienu. So that is a joyful thing too, that it's God himself who's so interested in us that he'll reach out to us to save us. Not only that he is that, but he does that. V'zeh yoser b'simcha niguf ha-yeshua. He said it's more of a simcha to know that God is helping us than the help itself. We think the big thing is to be redeemed. He says no. That's not the big thing. The bigger thing is that the one who redeemed you, Hashem, that's bigger than the Yeshua itself. That's a tremendous statement, he says at the end there. I want to read that again. V'zeh yoser simcha miguf ha-Yeshua. It's a greater joy to know that it's Hashem who saved us than being saved in and of itself. And that's something we got also through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo seraph, ani hu, ani v'lo hertz. Hashem saying, it's me. Hey, you're out of Mitzrayim. That's great. And then what's even greater is who did that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
I think part of that is that being saved from any particular situation is only as great as getting out of that situation. Whereas when you recognize that it's Hashem who is the saving, you realize that you're connected with was something far beyond the constraints of that particular.
Beautiful. Very nice, Aaron Deshrikala. That's a real nice way to look at that. It's much bigger than the particular Yeshua, that the confines of that situation. Very nice.
It seems also, you know, maybe, you know, that here it is. A lot of times, maybe we're waiting around for Hashem to save us. It seems to imply that Hashem already saved us. We just need to recognize that and know that.
Mm-hmm. It's just the consciousness, the awareness of that.
We've already, you know, mm-hmm. we're already there. We just don't know it. You know, we need to apply it. We need to change. We need to incorporate it.
There was a man who I knew of for a time when I was a bocher, living in Eretz Yisrael, and he was, he'd been learning his whole life. He was probably about 45, 50. He was Yomam Delilah learning. And I forgot his name. I think it was Rabbi Tesco, but I forgot his last name. He was an Eretz Yisrael and he grew up in Bnei Brak. And he told me once that when he was 17 years old, he felt a certain sadness. He was in a rut. He wasn't feeling too good by himself. So he went to see the Chazon Ish and told him, you know, what was the matter, that he wasn't feeling joy. And so the Chazon Ish said to him, "Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim." Hashem, you chose us from all the nations. That's all he said. Now he said, I wasn't old enough at the time to really incorporate that, you know, but the point was very similar to this, that, you know, going through all the confusion and the difficulties of the world, if we can sometimes reach that recognition that Yeshua is Hashem, Neranunav Yeshua Secha, that we're in a state of rejoicing because it's Hashem. That in itself, that realization in and of itself is probably the ultimate joy.
I think it's a nice picture too, if you think of Shabbos as a camp.
Yeah.
And there with its tzaddikim.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually we, after during the week, look to the banner again to know, okay,
to get back
to that point again.
And there really is the necessity really for both.
Right.
You know, if we live our whole life longing, trying to reach, and there's never a sense of menucha, that's very difficult. And if it's only menucha, then, you know, there's no striving for more. It's a very nice idea. Okay, well, we got 5 minutes, so we've got to do one more. Try to choose a short one. Take a look on page 9. Left column, third paragraph. The year is Taf Resh Mem Gimel, corresponding to the secular year of 1883. Okay. The Midrash says, "Bnei Levi, the children of Levi, shekirvu atzmam li, that they drew themselves close to me." And that's of course referring to the fact that Bnei Levi did not sin at the Chet HaEgel, and therefore they were not counted amongst Klal Yisrael. They are their own group, certainly part of Klal Yisrael, but they were in a certain way different as well. Kavar Kasu B'Shem Mori Zakeni, he says, "I have already written in the name of my grandfather, the Rim, the Indian, concerning the topic of Vayasvu Bnei Levi, the children of Levi gathered unto Moshe." And so after the Chet HaEgel, they were the ones who gathered to Moshe to carry out what needed to be done, basically the punishment for Klal Yisrael at that time. Ki hagam shohoya bevada, he says, most certainly it was true. Kama b'bnei Yisrael, there were many Jewish people, shelo chatu, who did not sin at the Chet HaEgel. Because it wasn't only Levi, there were others too. Rak, the difference was, shelo hoya lohem hakoach al yidei hachet shenase b'Yisrael. Those members of Klal Yisrael who were not Bnei Levi, their koach, their strength, was sapped by the chet. They didn't have the power as a result of the chet that was done in Yisrael, lahachnis atzman, to bring themselves into that special group, the shame
Mi la Hashem Eli. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, who is to Hashem? Come to me. That required a certain amount, you know, of, to get, after the chet and Bnei Yisrael fell down and people were upset and they were sad and realizing what had happened, and Moshe Rabbeinu came back and the luchos were broken, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mi la Hashem Eli. Plenty of people could have said, we didn't have a part in this chet, but they didn't have the koach. They were so disrupted by the chet and weakened by the chet that they couldn't step forward. And that was the difference between them and Bnei Levi. That Bnei Levi still had the power to step forward in response to that call of Mi la Hashem Eli. Well, Bnei Levi, Shehoya Bohem Devekus Atzum, he says that the Devekus, the closeness of the Bnei Levi to Hashem was so powerful. Atzum is a strong word. That means it's extremely mighty. She'azen nikru'u b'nei Levi. The word Levi, which means to be joined, right, like Malav Malka, to accompany, to escort. And that's what Leah said when she had Levi. Hapam yilova ishelai. My husband will join to me. Levi means to be joined. Lo nisra shel yadam al yidei achet. Their closeness to Hashem was so mighty that the chet of the egel didn't disrupt and weaken their closeness. They could still step forward and do what they had to do and take care of things. The rest of Klal Yisrael, even those who didn't chot, were not choted, they couldn't. They were disrupted. Ukinyan shokasuv al kol pishoim techasa ahava. As it says, love conceals, covers over all sins. The great power of love is able to even cover over a sin. Zehu ba'adam atzmo gam kein kifi ahava uteshuka shabo la'ashem yisbarach. Eino mispoil ayidei k'tzah shiflu shabo. It's a powerful statement. The meaning of that statement, he says, alko b'shoim t'chasa ava, is that Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael is so great that he can overcome our sin because he loves us so much. It doesn't mean there's no justice, but it means his love is so great that sin doesn't stand in the way. The love covers it over. And that's from Hashem to us. And the way this Fasemis learns that, he broadens that and says, a human being himself also is dragged down by sin. When we're chote, we feel badly about ourselves. And so the result is that we can't get ourselves back on our feet to serve God because we're just brought down into some kind of a depression by the chet. We're affected by our own sin. Apart from whatever onesh it is, we just feel badly. So one, he says, whose love for God is so great and so mighty, the fact that they stumbled and there was some shiftless now, there was a lowness of spirit, their love for God is so great that they're still going to be able to overcome their shortcomings and draw close to God. It says, in our times, how can we identify somebody who would answer the call, Mila Hashem Eli? The person who makes a mistake, and even so, is able to get right back in there because their love from God is so great that they won't allow their feeling of smallness to keep themselves back from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a powerful statement. Tremendous reminder.
So therefore the Chet HaEgel had the power to separate even the people who did not participate
right.
in the Chet HaEgel,
right.
which is actually a bigger statement. I never thought about this before, of the Chet HaEgel. It wasn't just an idol worship, because, you know, I guess anyway, because Aaron would, in a sense, wasn't involved in that, right? But it had caused a separation, something that took away our ability to get close, our ability to connect with Hashem
right.
completely.
Right.
But the Levine, you were saying, they were above this.
They were above it.
And they could rally around Moshe.
Mm-hmm. And answer that call.
And answer that mm-hmm. call, and when they did that, they paved the way for the rest of Bnei Yisrael.
That's right. So what he's saying here is that the Chet HaEgel was demoralizing. It was demoralizing to Klal Yisrael. And we just couldn't, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mila Hashem Eli, we were just so demoralized. But the Levim had such love for Hashem that it overrode the demoralizing effect of Chet. And he takes that and says, that's shayach really to everybody, Bizman Hazeh. How we are affected by Chet, and what it does to us, that we can't get ourselves back in our feet, but our Avas Hashem is a way to basically remedy that. Sorry, Abby?
No, I just said because after you not be demoralized, you just you come all this distance, you come from
Matan
this
Torah, way. Right?
Matan Torah,
and then Cato Ego,
and
right?
Right there at the foot of it,
right?
And you see the tablets crushed, and as far as you're, it looks, it's all over,
right? How could you not be demoralized?
That's it. I mean, and that, now I have to think, you apply it into our time and how a parent deals with a child, and then sometimes we expect them to bounce back up. Okay, you've been chewed out, I'll come back. I still love you. It's just that you did something wrong, but it's the same thing.
Right.
It's just hard to come out of it.
Yeah, it is.
Not to the degree that they were there. Imagine the highs and the lows there.
Where was the...
I'm trying to connect this back to the power of the bagel, and is there something about losing the shlemus of the bagel because some of your number, let's say, that is taking our own connection away? Is that what he's trying to get to? Is he connecting those two thoughts, or
he seems to be saying that the dagel there, which was the road back, that's shayach for everybody, and one of the additional points here is that road back, even if we have a dagel, if we don't have the get up and go because we're so demoralized, the dagel may not help that much. We first have to have the ahava to say, I can do that. I love we're going to say, that's a nice way.
And did Levi have it on bagel?
Yes, they did, yeah. And Levi not being counted in Kala Yisrael in this respect, counted unto themselves, but not counted with Kala Yisrael, it was that singular characteristic of not being demoralized to the extent that they couldn't do anything about it.
But do you understand what I'm trying to connect
to? Yeah, so maybe we have to connect to that.
Did our bagel lose something itself and then it didn't?
I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting question, but I don't know.
It's hard for me to understand how the people who weren't a part of this lost all their koach. Okay, I accept it. You know, but it makes it's a little. It doesn't compute totally. You know, as a rationale.
I'll give an example. Kala Yisrael at that time was very unified, like you learned, Yishafad B'Levachad. They were very, very close as Kala Yisrael. So if you had the family, which was very tight, and then one or two members of the family, you know, slips and falls, everybody feels that, even though they themselves didn't, but they feel like, oh my gosh, you know, my brother, my sister, whatever it was, they fell, they slipped. So people feel that they're brought down by that. And I think that Kala Yisrael was so closely united then, despite the fact that they were so numerous, but they were so united that when a group of them fell, everybody took it to heart. That's how I would understand
that's
it.
That's a beautiful way to look at it.
Look out in Colorado, imagine how some families are feeling out
there. That's an interesting point, right? Just everybody is jolted by that.
Yeah. The two families of those two boys are going to be devastated.
It's helping me, I'm processing this because it's helping me understand that maybe what happened after the Holocaust. You know, here it is, people were so devastated that they gave up life and they gave up Yiddishkeit, they gave up closeness to God, yet there was some people that were around, some great, like the Klausenberger Rebbe and other people that still kept their closeness to God and were strengthened by this somehow, that had the strength to come back and try to put the pieces together for and save on Yisrael, Kol Yisrael. I'm just trying to process this. I've always had trouble processing. How could people just give up, you know? And I can, I understand that a little bit
how
more.
How can they not give up?
Right.
You know?
Right, that's the I think the question...
But it's both questions, you know.
Put your angle and say Kaddish if you're here. Just wait 1 second. Yeah, I think that it, for a lot of people, it's that side of it, you know? How could you possibly go on? Some people, they found a way. Okay.